Blog Talk Radio.
I look the part, blend in with the rest of the church crowd. I know the routine, pack a list of the Bible studies in town. Watch Christian TV. I know all the preachers and their cliches. I've been born again, and without a doubt, I know I'm saved. But sometimes I hurt, and sometimes I cry, and sometimes I can't get it right. No matter how hard that I seem to try, sometimes I fall down and I stumble over my own disguise. But I try to look strong as the whole world looks on. Sometimes alone I cry. I try to speak faith, never give that up, devil. Not even an inch to give in. I do worship and praise. Let everybody know just where that I stand. And on the back of my old four-wheel drive Chevy is a fish and a cross for the world to see. 'Cause I know my God is good. Oh, yes, there's no doubt for me. Oh. But sometimes I hurt, sometimes I cry, sometimes I can't get it right. No matter how hard that I seem to try, sometimes I fall down and I stumble on disguise. Well, I try to look strong as the whole world looks on. Sometimes alone I cry. As the whole world looks on, sometimes alone I cry. And I try to look strong as the whole world looks on. But the truth is, sometimes alone I cry.
Welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we're going to be talking about the revival of the name of Jesus. We want to thank everyone for taking the time to join us tonight. We love gospel music, and one of the people we love to listen to with our kids was Carmen. It was always fascinating that his music didn't get much airtime on the gospel radio. He attributed this to the fact that he spoke of the name of Jesus and spoke of the shed blood of Jesus in many of his songs. We've noticed a pattern of hearing church groups of all Christian denominations speaking of last days and talking of spiritual revival in their group. Wild Bill was listening to some sermons and found one that really spoke to him on the revival of the name of Jesus. This has a lot of scripture and is brought to you with emotion and anointing that Wild Bill hopes that you enjoy as much as he did. We look forward to your comments and questions at the end of the show, and remember to push 1 on your phone, and this will notify us that you want to be part of our show. We'll announce you by the last 4 digits of your phone number, and we'll put you live on the air. And if you have friends that are speaking of a desire to have a spiritual revival in their home, you need to run and get them to listen to this show. And now, we'll start with our first clip. We hope you enjoy it.
Acts chapter number 10, and for the sake of time, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Everyone say, the Holy Ghost fell. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know they got the gift? They felt good and shook the preacher's hand. They confessed with their mouth. They believed in their heart. Well, they evidently did it enough to speak with tongues as they did on the day of Pentecost. And that's how they knew they got the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost, as well as we, or as the same way that we got it in the beginning? Now I want you to notice verse 48. And he suggested. He thought it was a good idea. The Bible says he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now this is a very simple thought, but I want to speak to you tonight about the revival of the name of Jesus. Would you lift your hands, would you lift your voices, and would you pray tonight? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that the living word will preach the written word. I ask you, Lord, that we would have confrontation, demonstration, and impartation in this house tonight. That you would fuse, oh God. That you would bring us into solidarity, a unity, and focus, an unction, an anointing, oh God, from the holiness that has been preached and lived, oh God. That has been put into our lifestyle, oh God, as a way, Lord Jesus, of approaching you. As we stand in the resilient light, oh God, we ask you now, fuse us with the vision that has no limitations. Everyone say, in Jesus' name. And the Lord bless you. You may be seated. In Acts chapter number 1, just before his ascension into heaven, Jesus gave his apostles a very pungent and profound word. He said, the most important thing for you to focus on is not about the things that are coming in the future, but what I am doing right now. We can get caught up in eschatology and trying to decide all of the things about the book of Revelations and the book of Daniel and Ezekiel and so many of the prophets. And these things are good to help us to speak to people that need to understand the times that we live in. But for the church and for those of us that are in the light today, what is most important is that we understand that this is an age of power. That this is a season and a time which the apostle called the dispensation of the fullness of the times. The fullness of the times means that everything that was prophesied since the world began had to have a point in which it would be fulfilled. Now, when we talk about the last days, we are usually referring to almost getting to the coming of the Lord. But last days has a more profound meaning than that. And this is what exactly Peter was preaching about when he exchanged exchange Joel's words of saying it shall come to pass afterwards, what he said it shall come to pass in the last days. They are synonymous. What he is saying is that when you get what I'm about to pour out upon you, it is going to be the beginning of the fulfillment of everything that I have laid the groundwork for up until this point. And so he said it this way, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Everyone say the city. And then in Judea, everyone say the suburb. And then he said in Samaria, it's going to reach to cities beyond the region in which it originally comes. It's going to reach into people groups that you are not comfortable reaching to before. It's going to cross along ethnic barriers and social barriers. It's going to reach across to people that you may not even like. And God is going to move in Samaria. Everyone say Samaria. And he said, if you can ever get past this barrier, he said, something is going to happen that cannot be measured. It's called the uttermost parts of the earth. You can say it falls in one city and not in another. But we are believing for a Holy Ghost deluge that is going to come. That we can't just say, well, it's happening in Jerusalem, but it hasn't happened in Samaria yet. We can say, well, it's happening in the surrounding areas of Judea, but you know what? We're still waiting for it up here in Caesarea Philippi. But I believe the day is going to come when God wants to cover the earth with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. And if we will continue in the apostles' doctrine, if we will continue in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, if we will continue to be a daily church, God will bring us into a position of an explosive revival that will literally take the limits off, and it cannot be defined by a particular locale. It is simply the uttermost. He fully intended that when the Holy Ghost got a hold of a community of people, it could never be contained in one location for very long. It has an explosive nature about it. It has an expanding ability to it. It has something about it that is always challenging the present level of faith. It is always challenging the present axiom, the present mindset. It is always telling you to believe God for more than what you are experiencing right now. You shall receive power. The word power there is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. It's explosive in nature. And he fully intended that when he gave you the dynamite, that it would detonate. God did not give any Holy Ghost duds. That's why the Bible says there appeared cloven tongues like as a fire that sat upon each of them. My personal opinion is, he lit the fuse before he gave them the dynamite. Because he fully intended, if I give you this power, I want you to use it. God never intended for you to get the Holy Ghost, just for you to keep it. Well, I'm holding on to my Holy Ghost. I'm just holding up for till I get to the rapture. Hallelujah. I want you to know he wanted it to be something that is constantly explosive inside of your life and pushing the barriers, pushing the boundary. It's going to start at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. But it's not going to end there. How many of you here tonight are ready for something to happen in your life? That you can say, God, I have lived inside of a particular perimeter. I lived in a particular place of faith where I am comfortable. But God, I know that you're capable of doing far more than this. But something has to happen inside of my spirit where my faith can be stretched just a little bit further to believe God for a breakthrough and a defining moment. You see, this doesn't just happen at a Pentecost experience. The Bible says they continued. We can have our cloven tongues of fire. We can have the wind that blows into 3,000 that are saved, but that's not what it was all about. That was the foundation. But the Bible says they continued. Every day in the temple, every day in house to house, they continued. They were a daily church. Everyone say a daily church. A daily church is a church that is having daily results. God added to the church daily such as should be saved. A weekly church is a weekly church. Hallelujah. If we want to be baptizing people on Monday, we have to be a Monday church. If you want people to get the Holy Ghost on Tuesday, you got to be a Tuesday church. If you want people to get healed on Wednesday, you got to be a Wednesday church. And I'm going to tell you this, if we are not daily, the devil is. If we are not daily, the world is. The Bible says they laid a lame man at the gate of Beautiful every single day. And when they were coming in and going out, there was a man that was a victim that was standing there robbing their faith. Every time they came in and every time they came out, he was laid there every day. And the devil's got things right outside this door that he set there to sabotage your faith and to take away the unction and the anointing of God that you found inside of this house. And something inside of you has got to be determined that what I get when I'm here, I'm going to keep with me when I walk out of here. There's got to be something inside of you that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. But you see, there's always going to be somebody with a what if. They could say, well, Jesus walked right past that man and he had been there for 40 years and Jesus didn't heal him. I thought this was the God that could do anything. How come he didn't heal this man? And there's all kinds of issues right around the doors of the church that the devil strategically places there to try to push you back into your rut. But the Bible tells me that they continued. And because they continued, there was something that happened to them. And one day, the Bible says, it wasn't on their way out of prayer, but on their way to prayer. That what their daily experience with God had finally produced in their life. They said, you know what? I've had about enough of this. I've had about enough of the devil trying to intimidate me. And it's time for a showdown. It's time for a confrontation. And he said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. What he was saying is, I've got something greater than what you've got. And it's time for a showdown, devil. It's time for a miracle. It's time for a breakthrough. And it's time for everybody to know we're not intimidated by anything that you could throw at us in this world. If we could ever take what's in this building and get it out in the streets, we would take over. We could have miracles here and shut down just as soon as we get in the lobby. But what would ever happen if we could have a breakthrough? It was a defining moment. An explosion. And God took them to the next dimension. Now when you see the book of Acts, we understand this is a narrative. This is history. But it is also a pattern for us to follow. It is not just something that we read to our children for antiquity's sake. We do not just read it to them to say, well, this is how it was then, but this is how it is now. We read it to them because we understand at the end of the book of Acts, there is no amen, which means that was the history of the church to that point. But history is still being written. And as long as we are congruent with the text, we can put ourselves in the same Bible that those apostles in the very beginning were preaching from. I have heard this all of my life, and I believe it with all of my heart. I am not ashamed that I am an apostolic tonight. I am not ashamed that I believe in one God. I am not ashamed that I believe in the name of Jesus Christ is the only saving name. I am not ashamed of this gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I know there's a lot of people that claim antiquity, but they are not a part of that church. I claim congruence. Unless you are equal to the text, unless you are preaching what they preach, I don't care how old your church is, it's still not the original church. I am a part of this original church because I preach exactly what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Come on, say it with me. Say, repent. Say, be baptized. Say, every one of you, say, in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Say, the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he launched something. He said, this is that. This is the beginning of all the prophetic fulfillment. But the pattern was interesting. It was not the same with each group. The first group, they had to tarry for the Holy Ghost. They didn't even know what it was. They didn't know what they were believing God for. It was just the promise of the Father. It was later that they would be able to fill in the gaps and understand. It was here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept. Hallelujah. With stammering lips and unknown tongue shall he speak to his people. Oh, there it is. It shall come to pass afterwards, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Hey, there it is. And so they began to fill in the blanks and understand what God was pouring out upon them. But God never intended for them to stay in the same mode. Every time there's an explosion and an expanding of the faith perimeters, they go to another level, to another level. When they got to Samaria, Samaria was a brand new thought process for them. For them to reach Samaria was something that they would have never thought of had not the Spirit led them there. Matter of fact, Jesus had to send them to the marketplace because he knew the evangelism that he wanted to do in Samaria was not something that they would accept. And so when they came to Samaria, it was different. It was casting out devils. It was healing the paralytics. It was repentance. It was a city filled with joy because they had forgiveness of sins. They had been washed in the waters of baptism in the wonderful name of Jesus. But the Holy Ghost had not poured out upon them yet. And the Bible says Peter and John went down there. Peter used the keys of the kingdom. And guess what? They didn't have to tarry for it. When they accepted a larger perimeter of vision, they got a greater degree of ministry. The greater your vision, the larger your authority. The greater your vision, the more capacity you have to minister to people. The larger that your vision is, the better equipped that you become to minister to more people. If you're just in a Pentecost mentality, then you're waiting for everybody to do it the same way that you did it. And so you're making them pray for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours down at the altar and wait for them to finally sweat enough that they get the Holy Ghost. But I believe that the larger our vision is, the more authority we ought to get. And we don't have to wait. We can lay our hands on you. And in the name of Jesus, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We never find another place in Scripture where they ever tarried for the Holy Ghost ever again. Even in Acts 19, it was where Paul went to Ephesus and he just laid his hands on them and they immediately got the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody say, I believe that. Say, I can have that. Say, we've got that. Look at your neighbor and say, watch out. Hallelujah. Come on and clap your hands to the Lord. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Something is going to click, Jesus said. You're going to get to a place where you're going to realize you don't have to wait on it. It's already in you. You've already got it. It's already in your hands. And all you've got to do is reach out with your faith and use it. So when you get to Samaria, this is waist deep for Ezekiel. We've had the ankle deep in Jerusalem. We've had knee deep in Judea. Now we're up to our waist. And this is about as far as we can walk. This is as far as we can stretch ourselves. Because Peter, when he was prophesying, even prophesied beyond his own bias. These signs shall follow them that believe, Jesus said. But they thought that that meant just Jewish believers. And so when they interpreted the scriptures, he shall pour out his spirit upon all flesh. They thought that meant Jewish flesh all around the world. And so that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost because there were believers from all around the world that heard them speak 17 different dialects. By the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But when God was saying all flesh, he wasn't just saying all Jewish flesh. He was really saying all flesh. And you see, sometimes we can speak things that are even beyond our own bias and even beyond our own mindset. But God, by the Spirit, is catapulting us into things that we don't even know if we're ready for yet. And we're feeling a surge of the Holy Ghost that's pulling us, that's drawing us, and we're still kind of figuring it all out. And God is carrying us into something that's even beyond what we've ever preached and what we've ever known and what we've ever experienced. And we have walked as far as we can walk by ourselves. But God is saying, I'm ready to take you to the next level. Are you ready to go? I'm about to bring you to waters to swim in. oh, but God, that means I won't be able to feel the bottom anymore. He said, exactly. Launch out into the deep. And that's where the fish are. The fish are in the place when we're not in charge. The harvest is in the place when I can't control anything. The harvest is in the dimension when I say, you know what, God, this is just a sovereign move of your spirit. This is just you in charge of everything. Just take over. We're not going to have another choir. It's time to go now. It's time to move now. It's time to move in the Holy Ghost now. So watch it. Watch it. Let me walk through it quickly. When you get to Acts 10, it's very elaborate and detailed. Because when God takes you into this dimension of the Spirit, He has to lay very good signposts and roadmaps for you to be able to navigate it. And so He gives much more detail in Acts 10 than He gave to the Jews or the Samaritans. The Jews had 4,000 years of preparation. The Gentiles were coming out of paganism. They did not have mindsets that were conducive for this kind of an experience. And so God had to take the church to another level of ministry in order to accommodate the largeness of the group that He was calling them to, and the deficit of knowledge and faith experience, the ignorance that was in them. So let's watch how God does it in the 10th chapter. God starts off with just some honest-hearted people. Fear God. Sincere. Don't know much. And their interpretation of Jesus and His life was that it was a social gospel. It's about feeding the poor. It's about giving alms. It's about caring. It's about being sensitive to people's needs. It's about being compassionate. It's about feeding the homeless and it's about clothing the naked. It's about going to the places where the people are in prison and visiting them. And that's pure religion and undefiled. Taking care of the widows. It starts with a social gospel. Very, very sincere. But after a while, Cornelius begins to realize that just being social does not meet the need that is inside of his spirit. And so he begins to yearn and says, God, there's got to be something more than just it being a nice community of caring people that give of the substance that they have. And we concern ourselves with poor people. This is very important. This is very good. This is something that Jesus did. But there was something else that was yearning inside of him. And so the Bible says he started praying. And he started fasting. And when you start praying and fasting, things start changing in your life. And you're going to transition from just going to church to see the people that you like to see, going to church because you want to hear something from God. And I believe there's a lot of denominational people that are going to church every single week and they're wondering, where is God in this service? I heard a statistic recently that said 52,000 people every single Sunday go to their denominational church and never come back because they have one complaint. The complaint is not that the preacher was not articulate. It was not something wrong with the choir or the choir robes. It wasn't a beautiful facility. It wasn't even the programs or a lack of programs for their kids or their Sunday school class. The one thing that they said that was missing is we cannot feel anything. I believe that we are right on the precipice of the greatest revival that we have ever seen in the history of the world, because people are hungry for the true moving of the Spirit of God. And if you ever get a taste of this, if you ever feel the rain, Pastor, if you ever feel the anointing of God, if you ever know what it's like to feel the revelation of Jesus Christ and what it does to transform your life, you can never be satisfied with anything else. When we were in Beaumont, we had this couple that was in a Methodist church. They were there, I think, 30 years. They gave who knows how many thousands of dollars. They were a precious, a wonderful couple. Over. This is that. This is the real thing. They're hungry. They're praying and they're fasting. I want you to know what happens now. Watch this. I love this. I watch this. God began to arrange some appointments. He arranged some credibility. Think of all the rabbis. Think of all the rabbis There were great sages in that land. But God did not send an angel to Cornelius to tell him to go visit a rabbi. This rabbi is going to tell you about the Old Testament scriptures and teach you the ways that you need to walk in. He said, no. He said, there's a crazy fisherman right down the road. He can't even read or write. He used to cuss. And the last time Jesus saw him, he had to get his shirt back on him. But a miracle has happened in his life. And a transformation has taken place in him. And I want that same transformation to happen to you. He's got some things to tell you. Hallelujah. I believe that God right now is sending out angels of the Lord all through the land. There's an angelic ministry that is being released because there's sincere, honest-hearted people that have been praying. They have been asking God for something more. They're fasting. They're doing all of these things sincerely. I talked to a lady on a plane one day. She was sitting in Mass, Pastor Miles. She was sitting in Mass at the Catholic Church, and the Holy Ghost hit her, and she fell out in the middle of Mass. Wouldn't you love to sing that? I said, the priest just looked at her. I said, what did you do? She said, I just laid there and just let God minister to me. I thought, how hungry people are today for the supernatural power of God. The supernatural power of God is going to draw people. But you know what God is going to do? If it's the authentic moving of the Spirit of God, you know what it's going to do? It's going to direct them to an apostolic preacher. It's going to take them to somebody that can tell them the truth. I believe that a supernatural move of God that is taking place in this world, it's not going to verify, it's not going to confirm all of this other, what is it, GA called it? Hoobadablah that's going on out here. It's going to be a one God, Jesus name, apostolic, that God is going to confirm. And he's arranging some of your schedules right now. Pastor, he's arranging some credibility in your city. He's giving you favor with people that you shouldn't even have favor. They start liking you. They don't even know why they like you. But angels have been moving in and out. And people's prayers have been unlocking the grace of God. And God is getting ready to position his church to the greatest breakthrough, because we're about to get to waters to swim in. We're about to get to the uttermost. We're about to have a no limits experience with God. Oh, somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Say, I believe it. Come on and clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. You consider stand, it's all right. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you what God did. I want to tell you what God did. God took Peter up to a high place. He put him up on the rooftop. And he made him feel hungry, so he could sense the hunger that was in the world. Now there are two times that are written about in this text. Cornelius was in the 9th hour, but Peter was in the 6th hour. The world's urgency is different than what the church feels. Because what God is doing with the church is different from what God is doing with the world. What God is doing with lost people is making them feel their need for God. So they have to feel like it's later in the day. They have to understand there's not much time left for them. That if they don't get it now, if they don't respond now, if they don't move when the Spirit is moving upon them, then they're not going to get it. But we have to be able to be understanding what it's like to be lost. So God lets us feel an emptiness from time to time so that he can communicate to us his larger purpose for our life. Hallelujah. But Peter was in the 6th hour. Now the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What shadow of turning is referring to is their way of telling time. That they told time by using a sundial. And when the sun was at high noon, that was the 6th hour. That was the only time when there was no shadow. Early in the morning, it would be looked in on the sundial and the shadow would be cast at the particular point so they could say, it's the third hour of the day. It's the fourth hour of the day. It's the fifth hour of the day. But when the sun would come at high noon, it was then that there was no shadow. It was the highest degree of light. And what God was doing was calling Peter up into this mountaintop experience, up on the rooftop, so that he could give him a full dimensional understanding of what the purpose of God was for his times. He said, Peter, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. You were there in Jerusalem and in Samaria, and I have now brought you to the brink of a new door of faith that I'm about to open. But I'm going to have to push you to a place that you've never been. So I'm going to call you up into this high place in my spirit so that I can communicate with you. And I believe that No Limits Conference may just be that rooftop that God is trying to call some people up into so that we can get the full resilient light of the revelation of what God is wanting to do in the eternal purpose of the church. Now, you have to understand that Peter is a man of God. He is a holy man. Everyone say a holy man. A man that is walking in right relationship with God, who is walking in the full glory of the revelation. He has more understanding in revelation than any that is in his age at that particular time, because he was the chiefest apostle. And yet God is trying to prepare him for the next wave. And so he gives him a vision. And he says, rise, Peter, slay and eat. And immediately there's something inside of him that recoils, because he thinks that this is a test of his holiness. Oh, Father, if this is a test of my holiness, I will never compromise. I have never touched it and I never will touch it. He said, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me, but I will not do it. Pulls it back up. He says, that's good, Peter. I'm glad that you have that. That's the reason why I'm talking to you. I'm able to give you this revelation because of your consecration. I cannot come to anybody else because they would not be capable of receiving the vision. You would not be able to handle the full power of the light that's shining down upon you if you have been dwelling in darkness. But because you have been walking in the light, now I'm bringing you to the sixth hour of the day that I can give you the full measure of the grace of God that I'm about to pour out on this earth. Let's try this again, Peter. He drops it down a second time. Rise, Peter, slay and eat. I will not compromise. He said, good, Peter. That's why I called you. But you're missing this. This is not about protecting your holiness. This is about evangelism. Holiness and evangelism are not competing ideas. We do not have to compromise our holiness in order to evangelize. But neither should our fear of being corrupted by the world impede us from evangelizing. God gave us the glory of God. God gave us the vision. God gave us because of our separation and because of our connection with Him, and because we were willing to give up everything to follow Him, because we have sold out. He said, now I can trust you with this light. I can trust you with this vision. But I want you to understand, I am ready to fuse your holiness with evangelism. And when I fuse that holiness, that uncompromising stand with the power of God, there is nothing that can stop it. Yeah. Oh, I believe that. You see, he was in the house of Simon the tanner. Now let me talk to you a little bit about Simon's house. The tanner was someone that dealt with dead carcasses. Dead carcasses would make you ceremoniously unclean. And he touched them every day. The rabbis would never have lunch with a tanner. People in the Jewish community, most of the time, would shun him because of his job. But they never put him out of business. Matter of fact, he was a very integral part of their community, because that was the very same house where they got the papyrus to write the law of God. Because when he was done with the process of taking it from being a dead carcass, it became something that the living word of God could be written upon. They took those very skins and rolled them together and sanctified them. And God told Peter, "That which I have cleansed, don't you call common or unclean." In other words, if anybody ought to be able to understand this, I put you in the house of change to let you see how I can take something that's corruptible and defiled. I can take something that would make anyone unholy if they touched it. But if they work with it long enough, by the time I'm done with them, it'll be so pure, it'll be so holy that my word can be written upon them. And I want to tell you something. This is the power of the Holiness Church. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That this house that you're in here tonight is a house of change. Come however you are. Come with purple hair. Come with AIDS. Come with a drug addiction. It doesn't matter, because when God is done with you, it will be as if you had never touched it. It will be as if you had never been that way. And such were some of you, but now you are washed. Now you are sanctified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of God. I'm talking about a God that can change anybody. I'm talking about a God that took you from your unholy lifestyle, that took you from your defiled and profane spirit, and He transformed you. And if He can do it for you, He can do it for anybody. What right do we have to tell God who He can save and who He cannot save, who He can touch and who He cannot touch? This gospel is for the whole world. This gospel is for every color. This gospel is for every lifestyle. It's for everybody. Evangelism! And the devil wants to make us feel ashamed or embarrassed or nervous. We don't hardly know how to talk to people that aren't saved. We're so comfortable in our little groups, you know. We're comfortable in our nice little lifestyle, just being with people that are just like us. We don't even hardly talk to other Pentecostals, much less talk to people that don't need God. We have a hard time just smiling at the cashier. Walking through Walmart. How are you? I can't tell you how many times that my wife's holiness has given her an opportunity to witness. And those divine appointments that God is arranging. We were coming out of the hospital. We're just going to visit the doctor. You know, have all those doctor's visits before you have the baby. And I went to go get the car so she wouldn't have to walk. And I knew she should have been down already, but she wasn't down already. And all of a sudden she walks out of here, she's got a little friend with her, you know. And I walked out and knew exactly what this was. I got out of the car, I introduced myself to her, and my wife said she got in the elevator, and then this lady got in the elevator, and she turned and looked at her. And she said, "You're Pentecostal, aren't you?" She said, "Yes." And she started crying, and before they got two floors down, my wife was already able to start the process of getting her into a Bible study. I want you to know, folks, that if we would just open up our eyes and catch the vision, people are hungry. And God brings us up into this trance-like experience. Do you know what a trance is? A trance is when you're suspended in time, when it doesn't matter what time it is, where you are, who you are. You don't even know your name. You're just in a trance. And I believe that God is taking us into a heavenly place with Him. He's wanting to sit down in a place with Him where we're just lost in the Holy Ghost. But we are not lost in the Holy Ghost forever, because there's somebody knocking on our door just while we're up in this spiritual realm. And God is trying to tell us they're hungry, and go with them and don't doubt anything that I told you, because that vision that I gave you, Tom Foster, that vision that I gave you, Bishop Wilson, that vision that I gave you, Pastor, that thing that I told you up in that high place, it is going to come to pass. And it's going to change our lifestyle. It's going to change our attitude. It's going to change the way we feel. We have been so nervous that people were going to rub off on us that we have missed our revival. You're afraid that that little cashier is going to affect you. You don't have holiness. You need another trip to the altar.
Come on.
You're afraid somebody with their little cigarette smoke is going to affect you. There's something wrong with what you've got. My Jesus went into the homes of sinners and publicans. And when he walked out, they were saying, I'll give back everything that I stole in four times over. I'm going to do everything right from now on, Jesus. I promise. And all the Pharisees and the Sadducees are criticizing Jesus. You know why? Because they didn't have what Jesus had. Hallelujah. Real holiness will sanctify the environment that it goes into. You know what people ought to do when they go around you? If they cuss, they ought to apologize. Oh, you're a man of God. I'm sorry. I would never do that around a man of God. There ought to be a conviction that flows out of us. There ought to be a light. There ought to be a revelation. There ought to be a love. There ought to be a glory of God that is so powerful that wherever we go, we sanctify it. It doesn't affect us. We affect it. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? It is a trick of the devil to get us so afraid of the world that we never talk to anybody. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And when you preach, I'll validate you. You are salt of the earth. Salt changes what it touches. You are light. Darkness runs from light. Folks, the devil is not my problem. I am his problem. When I get up in the morning, he says, oh no, he's up again. When I get up behind this pulpit, he starts running because he says, that's a man of God right there. When he sees you walking down the street, oh no, that's another one of those Jesus name radical believers. Folks, it's time to get off the rooftop and get into Cornelius' house. It's time for a breakthrough. It's time for a breakthrough. If we'll embrace this vision, God will give us unlimited vision, unlimited ministry. He'll release the authority. I believe that there is special revelation that is coming upon us because of our positions. There are some things that you cannot see unless you dwell in that dimension of holiness. There are some gifts that cannot operate until you are there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Peter said, but God, I've never been here before. I don't know if I can do this or not. He said, I better bring some men with me to protect me and make sure that I'm doing okay, and they can testify in the general board later that I didn't mess up. He walks into Cornelius' house. And this is what he does. He walks to the threshold. And the man of God stands there. And Cornelius falls down and starts to worship. He said, oh, no. Don't worship me. I'm just a man. I'm just a messenger. Yes, but the angel told us that you had words to say. And Peter goes, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And something inside of Peter went. Wow. God can reach the world. We can reach the Gentiles. These heathens. These people that Jews would spit when a Gentile would walk by, and they'd go like this on the ground. Dogs. God can save even a Roman, a centurion, the very people that put us in the bondage that we're in, the very people that joined with the Sanhedrin to put my Jesus on the cross. And he's telling me to go to this house and love him and tell him Jesus wants you to be saved. And when he crossed that threshold, he said, if God would do what these people, he can do it with anybody. And he embraced the vision. And when he embraced the vision, the Bible says God did a new thing. Acts chapter 2, they tarried till they got the Holy Ghost. In Acts 8, they laid their hands upon them to receive the Holy Ghost. But in Acts 10, the Bible says, while they heard the word. Think about how unlimited that is. If I have to lay my hand upon you, I can only lay hands on two people at the same time. if I use both hands. If I'm going to be effective, I probably should only lay hands on one person at a time. If we have 100 preachers that are all praying for 100 people, that's only 100 people that can be saved at any given moment. Now, we could line them up 100 at a time. That would be wonderful. But to reach millions of people, how are we going to reach 6 billion people in the world? God said, you've got to get the vision. If you accept the vision, I'll give you the ministry. If you get rid of your bias, if you get rid of your small little mindset of trying to measure everything and put it all in a box, has to be in Jerusalem, has to be with Jews, has to be in Judea, has to be inside of this kind of context. We don't know if we can really accept them or not, because you know what? They saw that angel before they got baptized. Well, we don't know exactly if they're really getting answers from God or not, because you know they didn't get the Holy Ghost yet. And God is saying, don't you understand? This thing is so much bigger than you. It's so much bigger than anything you can comprehend. You just follow me. And I'll validate you every step that you go. And I'll make sure in the end they'll get the same experience that you've got. The limitlessness of the spoken word. And he didn't even have to give an altar call. He preached, far as we can tell, about 15 minutes. And they were so hungry. He barely got it done. But you know what he said? It's through his name. And the Holy Ghost went, that's enough. You said the name. That unlocks the glory. And a whole house was full of the Holy Ghost just like that. They went from empty to full. They went from Gentile pagans that didn't know anything about God, that just feared God, good people, nice people, didn't have a clue, to people full of the Holy Ghost, just like that. As a matter of fact, the people that were with them that were of the circumcision, covenant people, people that understood the law, people understood grace, they said, man, this feels so familiar. Peter, man, this is just like Pentecost. I believe that God is ready to loose something in the earth right now that has no limitations. When it's just the word, when it's just pure, those of you that are listening on Holy Ghost Radio, right now you can get the Holy Ghost right where you're sitting, right where you're listening. Those of you that are watching on the internet, you can receive the Holy Ghost right in your bedroom. You can get healed. You can get delivered. You don't even have to be here. And by the authority of the Word of God, I loose the anointing of the Spirit of God in this house and all through this airways, that you can receive the power of God, because the God that I'm talking about cannot be put in a box. He cannot be limited. He cannot be measured. He goes beyond time. He goes beyond space. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And he is God. He dwells in a light which no man can approach unto. And now he has entrusted us with the sacred oracles of the scriptures of God. And he has given us an authority to speak in his name. And he will back it up. He said, if you bind it on earth, it is bound in heaven. If you loose it on earth, it's loosed in heaven. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, the gates of hell. Hell can't stop this thing. We've got a power that nobody can stop. You can't fight what you cannot see. You cannot fight this Holy Ghost, and it's about to explode. Say, I've got the vision. Then you've got the ministry. Come on and clap your hands one more time to the Lord. Give him praise. Now watch this. Acts chapter 2, repent, are baptized by the Holy Ghost. Samaria, repent, are baptized by the Holy Ghost. Gentiles, gave to the poor. Started praying, fasting. Saw an angel. Heard the word. Got the Holy Ghost. Got the Holy Ghost first. Everyone said they got the Holy Ghost first. Now, what's happened in the world in the 20th century? Good denominationalist people came out of their holiness backgrounds, Presbyterians, Nazarenes, Methodists, good, solid, clean living people, got got to reading the book of Acts and got to praying, and Topeka, Kansas happened. And then all of a sudden, it went from there to Azusa Street. An old black man who was so humble just put his head in an egg carton somewhere, in an egg crate somewhere. Wouldn't even lift his head up, just praying and seeking the face of God. And from there, the Holy Ghost began to spread all through the Western Hemisphere. And over the last 100 years, we have seen millions. Until now, we have over 500 million people worldwide that have the Holy Ghost experience. 500 million. It is happening so fast. We cannot keep track of all the people that are getting the Holy Ghost. The people that used to fight it, people that are in their high up echelons of leadership, are quietly and secretly getting the Holy Ghost. There are people that would be embarrassed to tell the rest of their congregation that they got the Holy Ghost, but it's happening. I even talked to some Mennonite people that they said, well, I have a prayer language. Hallelujah. It's happening with Catholics. It's happening with Baptists. It's happening with Presbyterians. It's happening with people of every denomination, because you can't stop this, folks. This is a sovereign work of the Holy Ghost. And this is the way the pattern works. They get the Holy Ghost first. But guess what's about to happen? We are living between the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the revelation of the name. The next thing that comes is Peter stands up and commands them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. We are about to see a sovereign work of the Holy Ghost, where there's an utterance that comes forth from the Spirit of God that is not just a suggestion. It is a command. It is an authoritative, bold word that says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's got to be born of the water, and he's got to be born of the Spirit. He said, if you've not been baptized in his name, your baptism is not valid. When he went to Ephesus, he said, you got baptized with John's baptism. He said, that was for repentance, but this is the only way that you can be saved. I've got to take you to water in the name of Jesus. I believe we're about to see a Jesus name revival that's going to sweep this world. If we will embrace the vision, God will give us the ministry. What does the Bible say about the end times? And give me 2 minutes and I'm done. What does the Bible say about the end times? We will be hated of all nations. For what? His name's sake. Now, you can read something bad into that. I read something very good into that. First of all, if I'm hated by the world, that proves that I'm not of the world. Secondly, if they hate me, it's probably because I'm preaching something that is convicting them. Thirdly, if they're trying to get rid of me, it's because they cannot control me. And if they hate the name, it's because that name has done so much to upset their system that they don't know what to do with it. You see, the Antichrist system is trying to have a one world government, a one world religion, one world economy. And you see, all of this, what's GA call it? The hoobadablah out there. It will accept anything and everything. And it will buy into the Antichrist system. They'll use words like love and togetherness and let's just forget our differences and let's join together and ecumenicalism. And so you have the Pope kissing the Quran because he worships the God of Abraham. The Pope kissed the Quran. But I'm going to tell you, when you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, there is something inside of you that will never, ever accept that kind of ideology. And when you've got the name of Jesus in your life, there's a something about that covenant relationship. You see, the Antichrist wants to give everybody a number. But you see, I'm not going to take the number. because I've got the name. I've already been identified. The Antichrist is going to use the number to brand people with an impersonal thinking of just saying, you're just another number. But the one that loves me doesn't think I'm just another number.
Wow. What a powerful message. I'm not real sure I was ready for that to be over. Well, we want to hear your comments. Blog Talk Mom, do you have something to share with us?
Well, that
you do.
Yes, I do. That was excellent. I was, I don't know what I was expecting, but that was excellent.
And that was awesome.
It is the truth, right on target. And he said it very well. I was privileged to teach this past Sunday morning, and all the way through, I had PowerPoint, but the center thought was that God is a covenant God. He has a pattern. In the tabernacle, everything God did, he had an exact pattern, the universe, creation, everything. And the church, and it's just one chapter there, but God covers everything from the redemptive Savior being rejected, but what happened when he was hung on that cross, when he came out of that tomb, and those people were shaken on the day of Pentecost. They just wondered, what must we do to be saved? And the man with the keys to the kingdom told them plainly to repent. And we say that scripture sometime, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I guess we just say it so much that sometimes it doesn't quicken us. The name of my lesson was hear and listen. We hear things. When the train passed by here, I would just, it wake me up, the dog would bark, and now we never hear it because, it's just something that we hear it all the time. And we hear that message, even Pentecostals, and we don't realize what a covenant, what an insight, what a pattern, what a privilege to be led and the scales fall off of our eyes and our ears be opened and our heart to receive that when we repent, turn, don't go that way anymore. Turn to the Lord and then take on his wonderful, powerful, glorious name. As you can tell, that was a very, I was blessed from that program, from that sermon. It was excellent.
It was awesome.
We gathered around the altar, and Sunday morning is unusual because we have different classes and they're coming into the sanctuary, and we sang that song, To Be Like Jesus. To be like him, not just to copy him, but what was he like? What did Emmanuel, Christ, God Almighty with us, incarnate, the Almighty God, what does that mean? Do we just take that, again, I think we hear things so much that we quit really listening to what the Spirit of God is saying, because God's plan was to bring us back into fellowship with him because of the fall and because of sin, and then we are the temple of God. We are his temple, his spirit. He designed for his spirit, the spirit of God it's just so awesome, and it dwells within us, and it will shine forth if we let it everywhere we go. Sister Kaiser is visiting here, and I had to get some things at the Dollar Tree. I'm going to teach tomorrow night with the children. And so Sister Kaiser never, ever meets a stranger, ever. And if she doesn't start a conversation, somebody's going to start it with her. And before it was over with, I guess we talked for 30 minutes or more to this lady. It was fantastic. We're going to get back in touch with her for a Bible study. And it was just wonderful. Like the minister said, people are hungry. Of course, you know that. This is Darla.
Yes.
You and Wild Bill are, I think you've won people, your neighbors, and you're very outstanding that way. But like the minister said, sometimes we almost seem paranoid when we go in a store. You know, we even with each other, we want, you know, different churches, we meet each other, and there should be eye contact and agreement, and I really think you might want to play that program again because it was really good.
Well, Blog Talk Mom, we have Wild Bill with us. Wild Bill?
Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed the program. I tell you, it's funny how God's Word can speak to you on so many different levels. And the thing that I got out of this message is something that God's been really speaking to my heart for months and I didn't realize. It's how we get into a mindset of a rut of how God's going to work, God's going to do things, the service, how it should flow, what the minister should do, how we should look, what someone should wear, how their hair should be. And we take this whole thing to where God said, greater works than these you're going to do, because we want to put things into a form. I mean, it's real easy, even with the Acts 2:38 message, to sit there and try to just line up with a form of that and forgetting that God is wanting to expand this even more. I was thinking about in my generation how that, you know, I was able to lean on the previous generation for things and then kind of get splash over blessings and you know, and not really get in there and be the one that says, okay, I want to be David. You know, I want to be Peter. I want to be Paul, because we get in this mindset of comfort zone. And kind of get on cruise control, and we don't want all the isms and schisms and all those things. And God's saying, I'm needing David's today. I'm needing Peter's today. I'm needing Paul's today. I'm needing people that are saying, yes, I stand in the gap. But it's not a gap that you've ever seen before, because this is supposed to be getting bigger, not staying in a set formula, not in a set form. It's not going to be the day of Pentecost, like he said, then. It keeps changing. It's growing. You don't plant a seed of corn and at the end of the year come and dig up your seed and put it back in a box and you're happy. A plant comes up, there's a bud, and then the plant grows and it matures, and there's process that goes along with it. It becomes bigger. It expands. It starts off as a seed and becomes a plant. And from that plant, there's fruit or produce or whatever it is that you planted. With corn, you get your corn. And so it's one of those things that we got to get outside of our thinking, outside of our rut, to have a vision, to understand that the things of God's Word, where he said that by my stripes ye are healed, it means by my stripes ye are healed. Where it says you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, it means you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Where it says that you can go out and lay hands on people and they can receive the Holy Ghost, it don't matter where you are, who they are, what the situation is. It can be at Walmart and they can be half naked and you let your light shine. You can be that light to go out there in that salt. You can change those things, but it's that thought process that's got to change within the people. And that's why I played that song at the beginning of this, is that, you know, sometimes I cry alone. You know, sometimes I fall. Sometimes I get to wanting to wear a mask because of the things that are going on, so I don't want people to realize that sometimes I'm wayward, sometimes I'm up and down, sometimes I'll fall. You know, sometimes I get bruised, sometimes I don't know the answers. Sometimes I try to lean upon myself instead of leaning on God. There's not things that's real popular to talk about, but when you read about the apostles and you look at things, you can see where Paul got crossed with one of the brethren. You can look and see the things with Peter, how they struggled. And we get to this thing to where, instead of us becoming more powerful, I've witnessed in people that I've looked up to, I've seen them do things and set up standards in their life that at one point that's what it was, and now I see them falling away. And now I want to justify and say, well, because that person did it, that means it's okay for me, and I'll take the personal relationship out of it. But God is looking for people that's going to say, okay, there's giants in the land, but we are well able to possess this land. Greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. Where we not just have the Holy Ghost, but we're full of the Holy Ghost to be able to do those things. And we reach out in faith for things that's and expect it. Faith means you're expecting that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And I'll tell you what, I'm not real articulate. Sometimes I make up words, and I feel sorry for my Sunday school class this next week because the words that keep going over and over in my head is, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of apologizing for things that has to do with the things of God because there's things that's wrong in my life to where I'm the one that's out of position because I'm the one that has lack of faith. I'm the one that has lack of vision. I don't have the fortitude to stand upon God's word and accept that he's watching over it to perform it as much today as he did back then. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. And y'all just have to forgive me here because this message was for me, probably more than for anybody else that's out there listening, because I know that at the end of time there's going to be a harvest, and I want to be one of the laborers that doesn't look back. I want to set my mind and my eyes on Jesus. I want to look forth and have eyes, spiritual eyes to look, and not just have fun visiting with people, but look at, are there needs there? Is there something where I can feel that need? Is there a giant? Do I need to get my sling and my stone and set up for the Lord? You know, or giant, I come against you in the name of the Lord. You know, it's just, I don't know. I'm probably rattling on here, and I sound like I'm on my soapbox, but if there was ever a time for people to go back to the old landmark, to that foundation of what God's word says, what he said he's given us, what he said he wants us to do, it's now. And I feel that with everything that's within me. But even with that being said, and even with God speaking out to my heart, the application of that is still something that I have to make up my mind to do, and you have to make up your mind to do it the same way. So, sorry to mean to go on quite so much there. But do you understand? Do you feel some of that too, Blog Talk Mom? I mean,
absolutely. And I hear everything you're saying. It is, you know, in every generation and in every stage, there's, I was looking at that, like the song Harvest Time, that was the UBC when Brother Urshan and them were on the radio, and their song was Harvest Time, and you were talking about planting something and it growing. And if we're going to harvest things, then we've got to plant some things, and we've got to work with it and get involved in it and be focused on it. And it's everywhere. I mean, just like the message, people are hungry. They're hungry for the Lord. They may not know what they're hungry for, but I think they're just, like you were talking about being sick and tired, I think there's just people are sick and tired of families being torn apart and children, all of these different things that are happening, and they're wanting an answer. They're seeking an answer. They're tired of the rhetoric and all of the garbage that the media throws around that just sows fear and unbelief and confusion. They're wanting an answer, and we've got it. I mean, the Word of God, the history. And this is what is so exciting when you do, like you said and like the preacher said, when we get a vision of that, the power, it just sort of wipes everything else out, and that's what we see. You know, that's our focus, that there's people that are hungry. We've got the message. We can go to them. God's going to give us the opportunity. You know, we can't do it if we aren't willing to do it. But once we're willing, then God's going to do the part that we can't do. We can always depend on him, you know, to be. Oh, I feel the presence of God so strongly that maybe somebody's listening that you maybe not fully even understand what we're talking about. But if you go to the book of Acts and you read and you realize that on that day of Pentecost, that was the pattern and the model that is so real that God wants to use it for every individual that would just open up and let him have his way with them. Let him. We ended our service Sunday morning with to be like Jesus. On earth, I want to be like him. If we say that to God, Lord, I want to be like you. I really do want to be like you. I said that a while ago, but that's just, all day, you know, I think, Lord, how do I be like you? That means that I am totally surrendered to the will of God for my life and that I'm willing to give myself and anything that the Lord will require that someone else might be saved. If we gain the whole world and even lose our soul, we haven't bad deal. I'm talking too much. Rich, you got me excited, Wild Bill. So I'll hush. And Sister Star, you want to preach a little bit?
No, you guys are doing pretty good.
Oh, me. This is exciting.
I think part of it is that we've lost the vision. We see the vision. I love how he used the example with the man laying outside the temple daily.
Yeah.
Because we are confronted every day where things don't go the way we think it should. You know, before
yeah.
we go into church, after we come out of church, you know, we hear people that justify why God's not doing what he said he would do, and then we start coming up with this. We take this mind that God has blessed us with, this little computer in our brain, and it's amazing how we can take and twist things around to make it make sense. But when you stop and think about the things that God did, it doesn't make sense. Why would God robe himself in flesh, have to go die the horrible death of the cross, shed his blood? How is it that red blood can take black sin? You can take normal water, but take the name of Jesus and apply it to your life. You can have God living inside of you with the power of the Holy Ghost, and that helps us break the curse of sin. And yet still, we get so wrapped up into things of living every day, having to work, dealing with the people you work with, traffic, the things we hear in the press, our government, the things that we see, our court systems. We just, man, it's just so much information you just get bombarded with it that all of a sudden that's all you see is that lame man. And you forget the power that God has given us that's over the lame man, that we can confront what's there. And it's got to flee. It's got to change. When God touches anything, it's never the same, ever.
Amen.
But he's let us be the conduit for the people. You know, it's just not all of a sudden this fire from heaven falling on lame people and falling on such. We have.
Well, I think we might have lost Wild Bill. Yes, we did. Blog Talk Mom?
Well, the other thing that I would like to share is that for 3 years we had what was called, we called the clubhouse. And we had children and teenagers. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to touch lives all over. So today, I'm leaving my house, and all of a sudden I hear my name, Sister Lively. And three children come tearing across the yard. I thought that was you. They were playing in a cemetery, and they saw me, and it was a block away. They came, and they grabbed me, and they held me, and they hugged me, and they, you know, just it was just so sweet. When would I be coming back? You know, they told me where they lived. What could, you know, they would work with me. They would help me get it back together. And then I delivered some something to somebody and came back home. And all of a sudden I hear knock, knock, knock on the door. And there they are again with a cat, a little kitten. They want to come show me their kitten. Now, this is dark when this happens. This is dark. I'm getting ready to, you know, get in, get ready to listen to the broadcast. And I said, what time will y'all be going in? And they said, well, my mother makes me come in by 10 o'clock. Now, these are little bitty children roaming around in a cemetery next to one of a big highway and a big construction company on the other side. One of them 7 years old. One of them, I think, was 8 or 9 or 13. They were all little under. They weren't teenagers. We're not. And This is a very real need. This isn't just one or two. There are gangs. There were 60. I won't tell a number because I can't really recall how many break-ins there were last week, general area. There is a need. There is a call, and there is a God. And we, as Wild Bill said, we're the conduit. We're the ones that God has chosen and brought out to use to touch those around us. And I know everybody knows that, but we have to make a quality decision. I'm not just going to hear the call. I'm going to listen to the call, And then if I really listened, I'm going to do something by the grace of God. I'm going to do something for the kingdom of God. Not tomorrow. And I can't fix yesterday. I'm going to do something every day. So anyway, I didn't mean to just share everything, but I was very inspired by the broadcast. Thank you so much. You're just wonderful.
We love and appreciate you. Yeah, I got disconnected out here. I'm in the middle of Ohio, but I guess you could call that the land of confusion. As people talk funny up here, but playing, they probably think I talk funny.
I'm sure they do.
I'll tell you what. Watch it.
I heard that in Wisconsin. I said, y'all talk so different. And these two really nice-looking guys looked at each other and said, we talk different. I was probably the most southern.
But I hope this show was encouraging to you. I know some people think, well, this is another one of those messages again, but, you know, talking about, you know, the Book of Acts. But I think it's real important for people to realize none of this stuff, you had all this scripture, you had all these examples from scripture to let us, you know, see what God was doing, to understand that it wasn't just a one-time thing, that this was something that was continued. This is the dispensation that we live in now. I didn't say amen at the end of the Book of Acts. This is where we live. We are part of that New Testament Apostolic Experience Church. This is our dispensation. So if you don't go to a church that preaches the things that you heard today, or they try to take a logical explanation, say, well, that was just for them, I want to encourage each and every one of you, it's in your Bible. There actually is a Book of Acts. It's not something that just one church group has. It's their book. We've written this. This is not our Quran or something like that. But read it for yourself. And then if you have questions, you can contact us through the radio show. If you're not sure of a church in your area that teaches the things that we're talking about here, you can get in touch with us. We'd be glad to contact a pastor in your area and have them contact you. And, you know, maybe start up with a Bible, get someone to help you with a Bible study or something. You know, you can just kind of stick your toe into this if you want to. But I want to encourage all of you to just come on in. The water's fine. And God will change your life if you let him. It's one of those things, he's not going to force himself on anybody. But if, you know, when you're getting ready to go on vacation, you do a lot of packing up and preparation. And everybody's wanting to talk about the doom and gloom of the things of this world, the things with our government, the things with courts, things with our finance, the world economy. You know, those things are there, the changing weather. You know, these things are all talked about in the Bible. But instead of dwelling on those things, to know that with this life being just a vapor, that there's an eternal plan that's put in place that's just going to make this blow it all away. To have a life that's, where you can have even a more abundant life here, the life that you're going to have with eternity with Jesus is going to so far outmeasure that you're going to say, wow, I am so glad that one day I heard a radio show or someone spoke to me and I made this decision. Because the other side of that is that if you don't decide to do that and make that decision, there's a real judgment day coming. And where if your name is not written in that book and you're not placed everything under the blood and you've not followed God's plan, but you followed another man's plan, or even where an angel came and told you something else, the Bible lets us know that you should look at those people as liars. But I'm telling you this day that it's up to yourself to find your own salvation with fear and trembling. But there is a group of people that's standing firm that will be glad to work with you and help you and to encourage you as you start your walk with God. So, Block Talk Mom, I know you had been put on the spot on this, I love how the minister started the show with prayer, but do you mind praying over this program to close it?
Oh, I would love to, and let's just agree together that whoever listens now or in the archives, that the Spirit of God will have its way. And, Lord, we just ask in the precious, powerful name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, Lord, let that be quickened, not just our words, but, Lord, speak to the heart of the listener and let them know that you love them. Lord, let them feel your love, that pain and hurt that is in their life. Lord, we just sense it right now. Lord, there are those that are in such pain. They are hurting so much. And, Lord, we believe that you will let them know. Lord, you have the power, as we agree together, to go to those that are hurting, wherever they are in this world, and let them know that you love them, Lord. You told us to pray and to believe and to seek and to ask and to knock. And we're doing that, Lord, believing, Lord, that you're going to do the work. And you get all glory, all honor, and all praise goes to you, Lord. Take this, Lord, just like the little loaves and the fishes. It's just our effort. But you said if we would do our part, you would do what we could not do. And so, Lord, we claim a harvest of souls. We claim those that are in need to be saved, healed, and delivered. In Jesus' name, we pray and agree. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, we appreciate you, Blog Talk Mom.
Oh,
and we want to thank everybody for listening.
When you came on, I first heard your voice. I thought, this is going to be an anointed program. I just immediately. It's so good. And I know that Wild Bill puts in a lot of hours and time when he's time off from work, and then you just, after you work long, hard hours, and you just focus on that and put it together, and I greatly appreciate it. And I love you all very much.
We really appreciate you. You add so much to the show. I don't know how we would ever do it without you. I know I wouldn't be able to. And we do love you.
Love you, too. I'll probably come up and see you tomorrow after that. No, I'm just
kidding. Well, I'll be here.
Oh, sweet. Okay, well, we will talk to you next week, if not sooner.
Yes, and we'll see you right here next week at your place. Good night.